Welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today is Chantel, and we talk about beauty, what beauty really is, about her business and how she helps other women, but also men can gain some advices from her. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello.
There she is.
Hi.
How are you doing? I hope you had
I'm
a great
good.
Day.
Yes. How about yourself?
I'm fine. Just finished the podcast before you, and now you're the second one.
Okay, you guys are cranking out all of these podcasts, more
100%.
Than one a day.
I try because you know, I live in Germany, and we have, of course, the big time difference with American people. Mm-hmm. I mean, with most states, I have just 6 hours. With some, like with Chicago, I have 7 hours. Florida also 6 hours. California is a bit tricky; it's 9 hours. And
wow.
Hawaii would be 12 hours, but so far I didn't have anyone from Hawaii.
Okay. Well, that's a, that, yeah, I think Hawaii is about six or seven hours from here in
yeah,
the United
and,
States. So,
and 12 hours is aggressive for me. So you have to find also time because I would love to do normally podcasts during the day, but during the day is also my time where I have to do my business, my training and everything. So it turns out in most cases I do like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. sometimes midnight my podcast, but yeah,
got
it is what it
got
is.
It well, yeah, and, yeah, from where I live, yeah, Hawaii is like a good couple
yeah, in America
hours
also
more.
This is like a sure thing, right? For 10-15 years, I know that for sure from guys like Joe Rogan. They've been on podcasts for 10 years. In Germany it's more a new thing. I mean, it's existing and people know it, but it's still like a big hole. And yeah, if you start now, like in a couple of years, you'll probably have a big piece of the pie. And
probably.
That's what I tried to do. Yeah,
okay.
Then let's just dive in. Tell the people
okay.
who you are and a little bit about your background.
A little bit of who I am. I am Chantel. I have a platform called Chantel's Beauty Talk. And I am a advocate for saying that beauty is in the inside of you, the outside, and loving yourself. And that literally projects outwardly of who you are as a person and like things that you like to do. I am located in the New York City area, and this is my baby that I've, you know, definitely cultivated in COVID or this pandemic. And my background, I have a television and entertainment and sports background, and I've been doing that for like nine years now. So have a pretty extensive background in just entertainment period, so I'm doing something on my own.
Well, that's quite
yeah.
a lot. And I mean, the entertainment industry is very competitive. A lot of people, when I get in, it's like, as we say in Germany, elbow society. Like everyone wants to push out the elbows and push all the people away to get into a space. So do you also see that sometimes? It's very competitive industry.
Yeah, it's a very competitive industry. I think you just have to know, honestly, I would say you have to know the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know the right people, make sure you know what to do. But I think just getting your foot in the door is just the main essential piece, because once you can do that, you can kind of like break out into different things because someone always knows someone else. And
mm-hmm.
the train keeps moving along, right? Kind of
yeah.
even similar how we're even having our conversation today. You know, it starts
it's
off
true,
with
yeah.
someone knows someone and they start, you know, connecting all the dots. And if you notice, it's not even literally just, honestly, like I normally would say as Black people, and I'm only saying this, I hope no one gets offended, but it's a very small community when you think about it, right? And then
that's
you
true,
notice
yeah.
that, like, or even within your own culture, your own race, whatever it is, right? So you think of it and it's super, super small. And then you're probably relatives, right? And then think about it as you go outside of your race, then go into a particular job field. And then each individual job field, it's super small, because then you find out that everyone knows each other. It's such a small circle. Which is why they even say, like, you know, you're not supposed to really mix your business with your pleasure. And that's because it is so many people that know others, you don't always want people in your business. And then you start
yeah.
to realize that the world in itself is super small, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you're in Germany, I'm in the US. How crazy is that, right? That
That's
somehow,
true.
this is the first time this has happened where someone out of the States, right, or the mainland is like, we're reaching out doing a Instagram podcast and all these other ways of how we're being connected. And I think that that is definitely like an amazing thing to be able to connect with people in all different realms, racial backgrounds, family backgrounds. It's an amazing concept when you think about
Yeah,
it.
for sure. 100%. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
And I feel honored if I'm the first person outside of America to basically do an interview with you. So that's
Yeah,
probably
it's
something
awesome.
I always remember.
Yes, it will be for sure.
So,
I didn't know that at first.
oh, that's great. Even more surprising. And how did you get your foot basically into media, into the entertainment industry?
Well, you know, I went to school in New Jersey. I went to Rider University, which is, if you know where, if you've heard of Princeton, I am
Yeah,
20
sure.
minutes, 20, and most people know that as like a staple, right? And so my school is a private school that's literally 20 minutes from there. But my first internship, I actually worked for a semi-pro hockey team. And I was holding this big camera. My arm was like throbbing, and we're shooting like all these semi-pro hockey players that are playing a game. And so like that was my first intro to like entertainment and even sports, right? Like, and I even got that from like my university professor, who actually like he actually got me the internship. And then I actually did not get a job right away out of school. I actually took a year off, and I found myself like working in retail, and I decided to move to DC. And then I go to Washington, DC. And the crazy thing is, I'm working in this mall because I just moved. I told you I was working in retail. And I run into my sorority sister. Now, the particular mall that I'm working at was the Penny Mall.
Yeah.
That I even moved. And just so happened, her husband today actually got me my first interview, and that was at BET. And I had no clue that that was going to happen. I didn't even get the job right away. And then 6 months later, I had my first full-time official job working in entertainment. So like I said, like sometimes it's definitely by people that you have to know.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. And you basically did, I don't know if it's typical for America, but you did like a thing, what they do in Europe and Germany quite often. We call it the gap year after school, when people just work some kind of jobs, whether it's on a gas station or in a gym, whatever, just random jobs in that year, basically to find out what they want to do, or they just want to relax before they go to university, whatever. And it seems like in America, it's not so typical. People always after college or high school right away dive into the next thing, right?
I would say it's like half and half from my eyes and my perspective. Somebody might tell you something completely different. I think like here in America, like it's really based, everything's based off who you know. And so the other thing is, listen, I always tell the younger folks, if you can get internships, do them. You know why? Because that leads you up to success for, you know, getting that first time job. Like we have interns at my, you know, my main job right now, where, or we have ambassadors, you know, you show your worth during a program. So if I like you so much, I'm going to ask you to come back. Like, for instance, I have a younger sorority sister that I asked her to be an ambassador. She's not a full-time person, but I would definitely bring her back if I have a coordinator space to fulfill under me. And then there's certain people where it's harder for them, right? So if you don't know the right people, and it's really the right people who can put you in these certain positions. So somebody has to be willing to help you. And I think it's like, that's why I said it's half and half. So if you kind of don't have that, those relationships, because I saw someone say your network is your net worth, then you're not going to make it in this industry. But if you do have those relationships, I've seen where people like they surpass people who may have been in the industry for 10 plus years because somebody who's super elite and may have climbed the ladder can take someone that's just got out of college and literally bring them right up there with them. So that's why I say, like, if you know someone, if you think about knowing someone, if you want to reach out to somebody, you're nervous, take the time and, like, take a leap of faith, because sometimes it just takes a little bit of bravery to just reach out to someone and just say, I admire you. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm looking to do. And, you know, I would like to network. And sometimes people really feel touched by that, you know? So, you know, definitely that it's half and half.
Yeah, but also with the network, you know, it's, for me, I see it always as a numbers game. You know, you text 100 people, 10 people like you, they say, yes, okay, let's do the podcast. Mm-hmm. Or let's do this and this together. From these 10 people, two or three will bring you up, and maybe one of them or two will really make you start really big. And that's mm-hmm. how it is. And I think a lot of people also don't want to put into the work, because it's easy always to say, well, because of the network, you got that position. Even if it's true, but you still have to have the skills, because if you don't have the skills and you're in the position, they will probably mm-hmm. fire you very quick. So it's always both. And networking is also a lot of work. Or how do you see that?
Yeah, it is. Someone just has to like you. It's all about the energy and the being synchronized with someone else. And I think if you have that with someone, it may be a little hard to find. It's not instant, you know. Like, I'm very fortunate that I can honestly say I owe a lot of, like, my skills and a lot of creative ideas or different things of, like, me even doing my own, like, stuff to somebody that I met, like, maybe almost 9 years ago, who was willing to teach me a lot of things by being a video editor. And so sometimes it takes one person. You got to go through a lot of people to get to that one person. But when you find it, cherish it, hold on to it. And until then, there's so many things. There's apps. There's lynda.com. Yeah. There's you can find things on LinkedIn where you can actually learn how to do this stuff. Because, like, people are learning how to video edit, and they're not even
especially
going
on
to
YouTube.
School for it.
Especially on YouTube, you see everything. Like, sometimes kids show you stuff on YouTube, how to edit or whatever, how to do programs.
Yeah,
that's the amazing thing about that time, especially. And what would you say is the hardest thing for you, or in general in the entertainment industry?
Whew, the hardest thing in the entertainment industry? Lord. I would say the hardest thing is not to let your ego get too much of you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to, this is for me, and this is all I'm saying, is that, like, sometimes you have, there's times you're going to have to be very humble, even times when you know, like, you deserve so much more and you're capable and worth so much more. And it's always sometimes, like, proving your worth to people, right? And sometimes when you do that, you can get very irritated by doing that, right? You can know you're the best sportscaster, the best video editor, best person on YouTube, best whatever. It's like, you get tired of proving your worth to somebody or multiple people. And I see that, like, even in the entertainment industry, whether you're a celebrity or not, they're continuously, they are, and then some people, they just don't care, right? But they always want to keep a good name. So I find, like, in this business, it's definitely, like, it's very difficult sometimes to keep doing that. And I think the biggest part about it is just, for me, to continuously have that patience and just believing in my own process and not looking at, like, where others are. Because that always plays a point, right? Because you'll start wondering, like, well, why is this person here? Like, I'm doing all this stuff. And, you know, the part is, like, staying focused on mm-hmm. your own path. So I find, like, sometimes, like, that part is a little continuously something I have to get over. And keep pushing through.
I think also a lot of people, and that's not just an opinion from us, probably most people when they watch TV or all these people in the entertainment industry or in general in life, a lot of people think way too high of themselves. They think like they're very special. And some people, maybe they are, but a lot of people, when they think that, in most cases, they're not. And that maybe can cost you a career or can cost you something in that industry.
sometimes it pays to, even if you, what you feel in your gut is like absolutely like, oh my gosh, like I'm an impulsive person. But when it comes to work, I have to take a beat, especially like where I work, right? So my thing is like learning how to follow before you can lead. And sometimes when you kind of just like take a second and like I said, swallow your ego, be a little patient, and you kind of have to learn how to balance when to speak and when to just maybe there's a learning lesson, because then that way you can teach someone else what to do. Like maybe you don't know everything. And I think when people realize that, I think the smoother sometimes things go. So it's almost like taking a back seat, but like knowing when to drive the car and just put it in like put it in park and letting someone else drive it for a little bit. Because something that someone else might be trying to teach you or get you to learn, you're not going to think so in your head. You're like, you already know it. And you'll find out at the end, like I'm so happy that this person showed me something, and I'm going to take this and I'm going to apply it for myself and teach someone else.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, and in my opinion, it's the earlier you eat that humble pie, the better. You have to eat that at the beginning, and then it will help you, because there's also a great example, especially for the people from martial arts when they watch now, is the UFC champion, Habib, who destroyed Conor McGregor. And his dad was his coach and also a great mentor for so many people, and he basically made him lose all the time when he was a teenager against way better guys. He did it on purpose, and then he said as an argument, my son was strong, but he was tired very fast. And he said he made that on purpose, to humble him. He lost all the time against more experienced, more competitive guys, and then he was one day the son was so exhausted and had even out of anger tear in his eyes, and asked his dad, why are you doing that? I'm losing all the time. And then he said, soon you will win. That will just make you stronger and tougher. And that's since he was a pro. Now he's undefeated still to this day. He's 28. So that's the reason why nobody now can take him, because he basically learned that lesson very early as a kid. And I think it's very important to get a little bit about that humble pie.
Humble pie is great. Like, sometimes you don't want to listen. I'm not, again, like, know your worth at the end of the day, too. You know, absolutely 100%. But just know when there's some lessons in there, you know, don't get too full of it. And I still, even me being in the industry for so many years, I still have to have some of that humble pie too. So, and that's a real, just it's just a real thing. So it is what it is.
And how did you get then in the beauty industry? Because I see you have a great YouTube channel talking about beauty, helping probably a lot of women how to do makeup or whatever. Tell people a little bit about that.
I think in some form or fashion, I've always been like into some type of beauty. Like I've always loved to dress very nice. That just comes like my mother being awesome with always making sure we look the best since a young age. So I kind of think
That's
like someone just
awesome.
from, I mean, you know, I think like we're just born into certain things, right? But I would say I had opportunities where, you know, I've done things even besides this beauty talk. And I would go out, I would interview people, also do similar things with like, but also things for the, like networks. And it just seemed like everything I would do, it just seemed like the project would just like it would stop. And I was just working with other people. But to answer the question, I know you said, when did I start? I would just say maybe like forever in a sense. Like I've done fashion shows since I was like a younger kid. I learned how to model and walk. That doesn't mean like I was in a whole bunch of modeling pageants, no. But you just are surprised where your life kind of comes full circle and then things come back up, right? So if I learn how to walk and model at like let's say a teenager, then someone asks me, hey, can you walk in a fashion show, which I've done in 2018. I worked in New York Fashion Week. Like I can like those skills kind of like still come back, you know? So It's been instilled since I was younger, but the whole beauty realm and the beauty talk and all that stuff, I just started that again in like COVID, and I just decided to literally just go full throttle with it. So
Yeah, so you would say beauty was always a thing for you, and you were always attracted to that.
yeah, like, even from like things that I would watch on television, right? Like, so I just remember being like a young kid, and I don't know if anyone knows this because I know you're in Germany too, but like Ricky Lake, Jenny Jones, they would like every time like you see Maury or any of these shows and they would do makeover shows, those used to be my favorite segments because I would love seeing people who look a hot mess. And I couldn't wait to see what they look like after they got their hair done. And America's Next Top Model, I was always into that. So like I love like beauty stuff, like anything to do with that. I remember somebody telling my mom, like, why don't you just put her like make her watch cartoons? And my face is like, I don't wanna watch that. I wanna watch these shows. So like I said, like I think I've always been into it.
So you really enjoy that process, making somebody more beautiful or
Yeah.
improve the person.
Yeah. I think we can all be improved in some type of way. And I think it's really beautiful
That's true.
when you see someone emerge, even if it's just like an internal makeover, I don't know. Like, even if let's say you're going through something personally, and then let's just say you do a makeover internally, you realize some things. Maybe you go to therapy. Maybe you realize, like, you know what, that wasn't the best thing to do. And let's just say a whole year goes by, you look back at the last year and you see like you've grown so much from before. Like, that's still a makeover. It's just a makeover inside of you. And that's why I always say, like, beauty's in the inside, because sometimes we have to, it's all within, like, yourself too. Like, you can't be beautiful to someone else. Even if let's say I have a pretty face, but if I have a pretty heart or a pretty mom, I mean a pretty a mean heart, or like my mind isn't all the way 100%, like you're gonna be like, she's pretty, but she's like, I don't like her, so
That's for sure, yeah.
yeah.
And but here's also a question I would ask. I mean, you help the people to look better with some styles, makeup, and however you help them. But would you say, especially if somebody is really unhappy with their appearance because they're very overweight, would you say makeup can cover that? Because I would say at a certain point, no, and the answer would be work out and change your lifestyle into a healthy lifestyle. What is your point on that?
Okay, so there's a couple of steps, right? Because I think a lot of us women, we feel like we always need to lose weight, right? Even me,
Yeah, that's true.
I've even gained weight over the quarantine. I'm actually like, I'm used to being smaller now. I'm even a little bit bigger. But somebody who's just like back, like just, going through that, I would say, okay, do you accept that, you're overweight, right? It's like an acceptance thing, like realizing, okay, I'm not eating right. I'm not exercising. There are so many things I can do better, right? So it's just really just the accepting and acknowledging what it is, no matter how hard it is. Then the second thing is, okay, what can I do to change it, right? And then once you list the things that you can do to change it, so that is exercising, getting on a better diet. And then the other thing is, you talked about makeup, right? And I think in the meantime, while you are transitioning, because now you're in your mind, you feel like you're going to transition, you're going to do a makeover, right? From being the size you are to a smaller size. So in that process, if you want to wear makeup, that's fine. I don't say to, I wouldn't say like throw in some makeup because that's going to make you feel better. No. But if someone's like, you know what, every time I get done exercising, when I'm done, I'm going to beautify myself and I'm going to just see myself transform. I mean, it really doesn't matter if you wear makeup or not. I mean, it's really just coming up with a solid plan on how you plan on targeting the issue that you have with inside yourself, and then sticking to it, because we don't always stick to it. But
That's true.
makeup
A
is
lot of people
awesome.
don't.
Yeah. But if you want to throw on some makeup and to make yourself feel a little bit better and just beat your face and, put on that, your eyeshadow, your whole face is done, and you want to hug yourself and tell you how pretty you are, absolutely. I don't think it's necessary, but if they want to do it, I say do it.
Yeah, because as you probably know, a lot of women especially, they feel like with that makeup or with a certain style, when they buy constantly new stylish clothes, then they want to basically cover the problem they have when they're overweight, and they don't want to do anything about that. And that's, in my opinion, then the problem, because if somebody is overweight and they accept it and they say, well, I'm happy with that, then good, then they win. But in most cases, and they will all admit that when somebody has 100 or 200 pounds overweight, nobody's really happy with that. And yeah, then in my opinion, that's the problem, when they just think with makeup to cover it and then everything is fine, because that's not the solution.
Well, listen, all I can say is if you drink water, water is definitely like amazing for anybody's skin, whether you're big, medium, small, in between, whatever sizes that you want to say. I think water is definitely a main component. If you don't, let's just say, even if you feel like your face is not like you, maybe like things are going on with your, acne or anything. Okay, well, what are some products that maybe like can help the things that are going on? But normally it's what we eat and what we drink.
100%, yeah.
And
Especially.
so kind of like acknowledging where you are and then setting some type of plan. I don't care if you just don't want to go work out. Like maybe that's not for everybody. Okay, well, what is your designated plan to get the goal that you want? And maybe you just want to wear a waist trainer, or what are some ways where maybe I can drink some Lasso tea or some detox tea, or there's so many things you can do to lose weight. Working out may not be your option. You just have to figure out what it is you want to do and that makes you happy. And I think whatever makes you happy will make you feel good with inside yourself to tackle whatever the problem is within yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of the beauty talks you started in the corona time, what made you start that? Did you just think, oh, a lot of people now at home, probably they're seeking for some information for that, and let's just talk about, how did you start with your YouTube channel about these topics?
I literally in COVID was, well, actually me and my boyfriend, we had a joint couple page. It's called At Your New Favorite Couple. It's a long name, but that's what it is. And this lady reached out to us to be influencers for her products. It's called E and Company. And so we were doing all this influencing and I'm editing these videos and I asked the lady, hey, like, would you mind like coming on my live on my regular page because there's so many more women on my page. So let's just get some more people to buy your products on there because I know a lot of people. I convinced her to do it. And so my mental was if I'm going to put all this work into my relationship and a relationship page, I need to put some energy into myself too. Right?
Yeah.
Because like ultimately he has his own separate platform as well. Now he's working on our couple page. I'm putting my time towards my job. Okay. If like I need to figure out how to incorporate myself and benefit myself.
Yeah.
So really it's really my couple page inspired me and my boyfriend. And from there I got, I convinced the owner of this company to come on my page. And ever since she came on, I've been rolling ever since. And I actually found out I knew more business owners than I actually thought I did. And so it's supposed to be just beauty, right? It's supposed to be like, if you have hair products or beauty products and all this stuff. And then people started talking about the actual business behind it, like what their struggles are, what makes the business, what makes them successful. So then it became beauty and business. And then it's like, okay, well, what's the beauty in your business? And whatever you project inwardly, there's a story behind that that makes it so beautiful outwardly. And that's the story that I'm getting from these business owners. And I think that's what makes people probably want to be susceptible to buying it and also being able to promote it. Because if you know your story and you're talking about it and how great the product is, people like to know personal things about you too. You know, like you go to a hairdresser and you don't like her, you're not going to go back. She might be great, but if you don't like her, you're not going to probably go back. So I think that's if people have that connection with these owners, you know, they're going to be like, wait, what was that again? Like, I think I might need that. Or I remember her saying that. And people are just able to spread the love and go ahead and buy from them.
Yeah, basically, as people always say, people buy people, or people go to people. It's not just about the business. I mean, the business and whatever you do is the side effect. But if we assume, if we connect, if we like each other, then of course they will set you up for more projects or for more things. And if we don't like each other, maybe that's the one time you talk, the one time you buy something, and then the people are gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can honestly say every person that has come on my beauty talks, I love all of their stuff. I love everything that I have, like, it's been honestly an honor, even to be on your live, you know. Every person that has been involved with this beauty talk, I absolutely could not, it's made me really happy. And I'm, like, I can, like, I literally, like, can say Chantel's Beauty Talk approved for everybody I've put on my platform. And I don't just put anybody on there. I'm very picky, too. So.
Yeah, that's very important, as we, as we know now. That's definitely for sure. Because, you know, it's your business. It's your baby, so to say. And you cannot destroy that by people who just want to be on your platform. So just they have a platform and they have some attention moments, but there's no value. Value is always important. But I think so far you're doing a very good job on your YouTube. Can you maybe tell the people a little bit more about your YouTube? What is your purpose behind that and what they can expect from you?
Yeah, so my YouTube is relatively new because it's actually tied in with the Chantel's Beauty Talk page. So if you don't want to be on Instagram and you feel like watching YouTube and you want to get to know about any products you can possibly think of, I don't care if it's donuts. I don't care. I've had some from donuts to beauty cleansers to hair products, mental and health awareness podcasts as well, different influencers. If you go on my YouTube page, it's Chantel's Beauty Talk, literally, you will be able to watch every episode. And they're normally, honestly, just the same episodes that are from Instagram. They're just transferred over to YouTube. But what I've been also doing is actually doing actual reviews of certain people's products, like personally. So the great thing is, like, you kind of get to see, you know, me kind of give like an actual like review of how I feel about their products in real life. And normally it's always a good review. I mean, I don't bring you on unless I really condone the product anyway. So I just always like to give that to the audience to let them know, like, I'm really using this stuff. I'm not just saying, like, go buy this person.
So that's always the best. Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else you want to say or promote, or some advices you want to give the people out there?
I would like to say, first, thank you for having me on your show.
Anytime. This is
a pleasure to be speaking to you from the U.S. to Germany. I think that's amazing. Follow Chantel's Beauty Talk, at Chantel's Beauty Talk. Also follow me at Chantel Utley, Chantel Utley. You can also see it at the top of the live.
Just everything. I will definitely put everything in the description.
And check out ChantelsBeautyTalk.com too. And if you have a business or if there's something that you want, you know, and you have an amazing product, I'm always here and willing to bring in new clients, because I'm not just doing the interviews. That's what you guys see, but I'm also providing marketing assets to go with these interviews as well. And just know that beauty's on the inside, it's on the outside, and it's simply just loving yourself, and whatever those things are that compose to make you beautiful, it's going to project outwardly, and that's all that will make, you know, your stuff or your whatever you're doing succeed. It's all about the beauty inside of you. Period.
Well, that's a perfect way to end that conversation. Beautiful. And yeah, thank you so much for being on my podcast. We kind of really appreciate you. And I hope we can connect again soon.
Yes, thank you so much. I so appreciate this. Thank you.
That's from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was Chantel. And we talked about beauty, her business, and it was not such a typical beauty talk only. So I hope you gain something from it, and I hope you take some advice from her. And thank you for the support. Until next time, bye, everybody.